Great. Thank you, Lori. So I want to talk to you about the economics of cotton sustainability as it's there, but more specifically about the field print calculator and those sustainability metrics. Wes did a good job of kind of talking to you about what George is doing in terms of that project. We've got a number of components that we're still working on with that, looking at some return on investment related to exactly soil sensor use and that irrigation water use. So right now, this want to take an opportunity to kind of expand a little bit more and, you know, somewhat backtrack as well into, looking at those three parts of sustainability and how we measure that, and, you know, then really honing into the economic side and talking about that field-to-market national indicators report where they have looked at some of the economic variables there, and then take some data that we do have and do some empirical testing in terms of the relationship between profits and these field-to-market sustainability metrics. I mean, we heard a number of times throughout the morning already that profitability is one of those measures that farmers look at when they think about sustainability. And so when we put these environmental metrics out, we really want to talk about what that link is and that relationship between profitability and those metrics.
Can y'all hear us back there on the mic? It's a button that says push that doesn't actually push.
Yeah, the magic touch again. So I need to bring it a little. I don't know, it's there. Is it? Yeah, there you go. It's okay. Okay, and and then also talk about just what next steps in terms of some of this research and give you some conclusions. So, you know, just real briefly talking about these three parts of sustainability, and you heard it before, the social side of it, the environmental side, and the economic side, right? Bringing together those three parts, I really like to think about it as that balance to achieve sustainability, not really valuing one area at the expense of another, but how they all come together and how you ultimately achieve that balance between these components when you talk about the different stakeholders are involved, whether they're consumers, they're farmers, or they're researchers or policymakers, right? Looking at how you achieve that balance, because often some of those stakeholders will think about one of those aspects and not necessarily all of those, but certainly as a farmer, economics and profitability is something that does keep coming to the forefront for many, many producers. And so when we look at measuring sustainability, we need to think about how do we actually quantify these measures, right? What do we actually do from the environmental side? We have what Lexi presented in terms of field to market with the greenhouse gas emissions and the land use, looking at soil issues and irrigation water use. And so we have those metrics that help us quantify. And then we think about from the social side, looking at health. Farmer stress is a big issue right now. And we think about worker safety as well, but also those new generations. Are we passing the farm to new generations? And that builds in within that social standpoint. From the economic side, we start thinking about profitability. And profitability can be thought about in two ways, one being from a short-term standpoint. Now, short-term, though, doesn't always consider whether or not you're achieving any type of return on opportunity cost of time or return on land, return on investment, more focused on those variable costs in the short term. But then when we include those fixed costs and we include that return on management and return on land and other assets, then we start thinking about long-term profitability. Another way that we can start looking at this is from a cost perspective, and Lori did a good job of showing that relationship in terms of cost savings, and we can think about minimizing costs, and that certainly is a good way to look at the economics and how we relate these. Income is something that is certainly a big concern right now. We've seen within farms in general last about 5 years net farm income decreasing by about 50%, and so that raises some economic concerns in terms of sustainability. And then we have risk factors, right? There's risk in agriculture, there's risk around pricing, there's risk around weather risks, other financial indicators, health, and so on. And then government programs are also important to consider as well from the sort of broader look of what economics means in terms of sustainability. We have government programs that certainly help sustain farms when prices are low, but then also we need to think about potential reliance on some of those government programs. And so we kind of look at economics from a lot of these different factors and talk about a couple of these with respect to how Field to Market has looked at some of these economic factors with their National Indicators Report. And so Field to Market does recognize that economic sustainability is critical for farms to work towards that continuous improvement that Field to Market looks for in terms of environmental indicators, right? It's not about achieving some optimal or specific level of environmental sustainability. It's about achieving that continuous improvement. And so when looking at this, they don't relate directly to the metrics per se, but they do look at some of the financial indicators that I list here. So looking at farm financial health, so a debt-to-asset ratio, right? What's the proportion of those assets that are being funded through loans, through debt? Looking at farm profitability, looking at those returns above variable costs, and that's something that they do, and I'll show you in a moment, specific for cotton as well as other commodities. And then the generation of economic value, right? What is the contribution of agriculture as a whole to the economic state, whether you're looking at the state or national gross domestic product? And so if we want to kind of dig a little bit deeper into some of these in terms of what Field to Market has put forth, first the farm financial health. They look at grain farms in this way, and you can see here the debt-to-asset ratio on a decrease from 1996 to 2016, so a nice decreasing trend. We've seen increased land values over this period of time. We also saw those two drop periods there of around 2007 and 2012 where we see those bottom out. That's where we had really high commodity prices, and that allowed a lot of farms to really start using cash to pay for items instead of incurring debt. As we've seen, though, since that 2012 period, we've seen that debt-to-asset ratio start to increase, and we're going to see that even a little bit more when we look at some updated data for the following 2 years as commodity prices have stayed somewhat low. And so we see that, in terms of that debt-to-asset ratio, though, on a trend line decreasing, and that certainly presents a good story with respect to overall sustainability, right? Borrowing less in terms of your asset needs. Another way to look at the economic side would be the farm profitability, and this is specific for different commodities. So I've pulled out cotton, lint here, and what this shows is, in terms of profitability, does show that general decrease from 1984 through 2009 before a bit of an increase there. Yields we've seen increase over time about 1% annually, but the cost of production has increased as well. And so when we talk about profitability here, what this is looking at is returns above variable cost. And so with those increasing cost of productions, those returns have often become lower and lower throughout the year, although we have seen a bit of an increase there following 2009, but again a bit of a drop following that commodity prices that have fallen since 2012. Another way that we can look at the economic side is the generation of economic value, and this is again from Field to Market, their National Indicators Report. And so here we see, I'll kind of point to you more of the orange line there, the share of total GDP, and so that's the share of agriculture's contribution to the national gross domestic product. Again, these are national level, not state level indicators that Field to Market has presented. So you see a general increasing trend line there in terms of the share of agriculture to GDP, and that's certainly good news for sustainability of agriculture, right, because the relative importance is increasing over time. But what we don't have right now in terms of the National Indicators Report or the way Field to Market has developed the field print calculator is really that link between the economic side and the environmental side. And so looking at we look at those ways of achieving some level of sustainability, that continuous improvement, and we use these field to market metrics as a way to measure that, right? But what about that link between those economic measures and the environmental metrics that we have, for instance, in that spidergram or from the field print platform? That spidergram there is from the National Indicators Report in 2016 for cotton. And so some of the current research that's linked these metrics to economic measures has really, it's been very limited. Some of them rely on, started to document in terms of cost savings or started to document even some in terms of profitability. From a single variable perspective, the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation at Texas Tech has done a good job, and some of this has been presented here at Beltwide in the past years. They've done a good job of starting to document that and look at that relationship there between those, the profitability or some measure of gross margin as they've calculated it as, and some of the environmental metrics. And we often see where those that are improving their, on a single variable analysis, those that are improving their sustainability in those metrics are also improving their profitability. There's also been some work that's been done at the University of Georgia in the past before I got there by Shannon Parrish, who was a master's student and had collected some of the data that's one of the first or the first cotton program that was done with field to market in Georgia. And so what I've done here and wanted to talk a little bit about is taking some of that data that Shannon had used, and she had collected 23 cotton producers across 16 southern Georgia counties. And so this is kind of widespread area in terms of that region, looking at production of cotton from 2011 to 2015. She collected a total of 45 fields. Those 66 data points represent some fields or multiple years of data. And she developed enterprise budgets for each of these fields based on the University of Georgia Agricultural Economics cotton enterprise budgets. And so this was not actual data that was collected in terms of farm financials from these farmers, right? But it was using those production practices and applying what we have determined and as the costs for those, average costs in the southern Georgia area for those different production practices. And so she does show in her thesis a single variable relationship between some of these metric scores and profitability. And so I've used this data, and this is what I'm going to show today, is use this data and expanded that analysis a little bit more to do a little bit more of a multivariate work to show some of that relationship and dig a little bit deeper. And so the empirical modeling that I've done here, just some basics here, not getting too in-depth, but looking at two different dependent variables, one being either gross profit, where we're taking revenue and subtracting off those variable costs, right? All of those costs related to cover crops, fertilizer, different type of chemicals, fuel, and such. And then the other being net profits, so taking the gross profits and also subtracting off fixed costs. And that's where a lot of the other presentations that have been done related in research related to this area have often not gone that extra step of taking off those fixed costs as well and have focused more on just that gross profit point. The independent variables that I'm looking at are those field-to-market metrics, right? All the ones that we've talked about before and heard throughout the morning. And really the idea that we're not just looking at this from a single point or a single metric, because we know from some of the fact sheets that Lexi mentioned earlier that have come out of the field-to-market that tells a little bit about what those inputs are that drive those metrics. We know that some of these are interrelated, and so we can't ignore that point. And so we need to see how, when we have a change in one metric, it's ultimately also changing other metric scores, how that jointly is going to impact profitability. We have some annual fixed effects in there as well. All that means is that I've controlled for the fact that because we have multiple years of data, there are other changes in terms of weather or in terms of other events that happen on an annual basis that we need to control for that's not accounted for within those metrics. And then, because I do have an irrigation metric in here, in some regressions that I'm going to show you and some results, I don't actually use the irrigation metric itself, because when you have that irrigation metric and you apply it on a dry land field, right, things become a little messed up there. Right? And so to use data for an irrigation metric on a dry land field actually doesn't work well in terms of statistical analysis. And so what I do is just control for the fact that when I combine my irrigated fields and non-irrigated fields together in my analysis, that I've controlled for the fact that some are irrigated and that will change profitability because certainly yield is going to be changing from that. So some results that I have here you know, I think are quite interesting because it does reinforce some of the existing notion that certainly some of these metrics do impact profitability. And so looking at the gross profit there, and so the stars for, you know, kind of taking Lori's advice here of taking the science out of, the presentation a little bit, right? Those stars just indicate some level of statistical significance. The more stars, the more significant that it might be. And so where we see land use here being negative, right, we're talking about the fact that at that point, as we increase, improve our land use metric, that means we're actually getting smaller. And so we're actually moving more negative at that point. And so when we improve our land use metric, then we're actually increasing our gross profit at that point. So the signs there are a little flipped from what you would kind of think about in that respect, because a lower number is actually better. And so when we look at that land use metric, right, we see, again, as your land use metric improves, that gross profits increase as well and net profits too. From the soil conservation side, here we do not see any statistical significance in this result, and that's, so that tells us really that there is no relationship between the soil conservation metric and profitability in the way this analysis was done. Soil carbon is a little bit of a difference here in terms of how this is modeled, and here I've included two variables with the soil carbon metric, one being soil carbon and the other being a squared of the metric on soil carbon. And the reason why is because what we see in the data is just, we see that there's some nonlinearity. We see that it's not a simple straight relationship between that metric and profitability. And in particular, what we find is the fact that soil carbon being negative, but then the squared being significant and positive, what that tells us is that we actually have what's considered a convex relationship. And so that tells us that we have some minimum profitability point where if we achieve some level of soil carbon metric score, right, that we're going to have minimum profit, but if we actually get worse in terms of our soil carbon score, we could increase profit. But if we get better from that score, we can also increase profit. So there's two ways that we can kind of move on the spectrum of soil carbon from some optimal minimum point that will actually increase profitability. Our energy use score, though, being, again, we see some nonlinearity there. And so in this case, opposite, where we have a concave relationship, and that tells us that there's some maximum point of profitability. So we can actually achieve at some level of energy use greater than zero, we achieve a maximum profitability point, whereas if we were to decrease our energy use from that point, we would actually be decreasing profitability. However, if we increase our energy above that certain point, we are also decreasing our profitability, right? And so that kind of goes with economic theory as well as what we really do expect on some of these, right? That there is some level above zero that is optimal when we think about profitability and not being able to necessarily improve to the point of, you know, the ultimate metric score being the lowest possible score. Don't see much in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. One of the four models that I ran there do show some significance there in that relationship with profitability, with net profit. And so I should have mentioned this beforehand, but the four different columns that we have here, the two gross profit and two net profit, the two difference between those, the first one there is where we've got all the fields involved, and so that's the irrigated fields and the non-irrigated fields. The second column there, under each heading, is just the irrigated fields, and that's where we have the irrigation water use metric as well. And so we're actually not finding any statistical relationship between profitability and the water quality metric or the irrigation water use metric. These do have, you know, reasonably large R-squared in terms of the model fit, but, you know, that doesn't say that this is the end-all be-all in terms of that relationship. I think this is just really another step that we're seeing in terms of trying to document and understand what that relationship is between profitability and the field-to-market metrics. So to that point, some of the next steps have already started underway. We've already collected more data from 2017 and 2018 that are being entered in the calculator. And so that data is being analyzed. And also there's some financial information that we've collected with that too, directly from the growers. So now that's kind of giving us a little interesting opportunity here, because we can do some sensitivity analysis to really understand how the difference in our analysis compares between when we have actual financial data versus when we have financial data that's been constructed through the use of enterprise budgets, either being reasonable methods, but certainly two different approaches. The other thing that I'm working on right now is expanding some of the empirical modeling and thinking about the fact that we need to put this more in the shape of a system of equations and some more of a structural modeling approach, because the reality is, even though we can use a multivariate analysis to look at profitability as a function of these metric scores, we know that those metric scores, being interrelated as well, have their own equation to them and have their own method. And, you know, being able to actually model that relationship a little bit more can help tease out more of the effects of that relationship between metric scores and profitability. So with that, you know, what I kind of leave you with is my conclusions, right? There is some evidence of a relationship there between those, the metric scores and profitability for cotton, especially with respect to land use, soil carbon, energy use, and greenhouse gas emissions. But as more data is collected and there's more opportunities, I think, to improve that modeling, we can get some greater confidence there and really go a little bit further in terms of these steps to document that relationship. So with that, I'm happy if we have time to answer questions, or you also have my contact information there. Well, I got the blog and the web page there, so that's as close to the social media, I guess, as they come. Yes. And so basically what we have is the metric scores being lower being better, right, but higher profit being better. So, yes, an inverse relationship there. Uh, 2011 to 2015.